Good morning and welcome to Community Chat. I'm your host, Ralph Lynch, and a program brought to us by Baker's Furniture here in Tahlequah. And we'll be talking a little more about them later on here in the show. If you caught the tail end of last week's interview, you might have heard me say this is my final show today. It's been a long, long time here, and I'm pleased to announce the program will continue with the new host, and Baker's Furniture will continue as the sponsor. I thought rather than a guest interview, I thought I would take the opportunity to show how Community Chat has evolved, and for those interested, I'll give some talk about my 50-plus years in broadcasting, how things have changed. I officially retired as general manager of the Tahlequah radio stations in April of 2014, but the owner, Gail Payne, was gracious enough to give me the opportunity of at least keeping my hand in it a little bit. But I'll soon be 85, and with the voice, you might have noticed that has weakened over the years. It's time to give it up. Community Chat has evolved over the years. It started as a 30-minute show around 1970. At that time, I had a disc jockey who said he thought we ought to have a interview-type show. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know how that'll go, but if you can find a sponsor for it, we'll go ahead and do it. Well, he found a sponsor, Randall Morgan. Those of you that go way back, you might remember Shack Cafe next door to Morgan's Bakery. It was later moved to Sun Drug with Lou Warden. But back to the original show. The DJ that sold the program and was supposed to do the interview, he and I wound up parting ways. Within a few months of the start of the program, there was no one else to do the interview, so I continued on during that time. I'd moved, as we said, to Sun Drug, Lou Warden, that is now, of course, Morris Krager Flowers. Later, it was reduced to 15 minutes and recorded from our studios. It was originally called Community Coffee, later changed to Community Chat. Back to the original show at the Shack Cafe. Once we were put on the air, there was no cutting away. We had a little transmitter. We transmitted from there, and once the DJ here at the studios got us on the air, he proceeded to do a lot of other things during his time out, including commercials and so forth, and so we were kind of hung out to dry here, and I had one interview I'll never forget there at Morgan's Shack Cafe. It was to help publicize the first annual Cooks and Jubilee. It goes way, way back. Our guest was not fully informed about the length of the interview. After the opening of the show, I introduced the guest, asked about the new event. And the guest had brought something that resembled a Big Chief tablet and had a few lines written down. She read the lines and said, "Thank you very much." Well, as I said, we were hung out to dry up there for 30 minutes, and we got about 5 minutes into the interview, and basically it seemed to be over. But somehow we were able to fill the 30 minutes, but I certainly was sweating blood over that one. Over the course of years, I've learned a lot about interviewing, not that I've mastered it, but my first experience in interviewing was what you'd call a total disaster. I was working at KAMO in Rogers, Arkansas, my first job there, And I wasn't very good, certainly, and was just trying to hang on to my job. This was after college time, but I found my training didn't fully get me where I needed to go. And anyway, what happened was they had what would be illegal now, I'm sure, but it was a sort of a tourist trap. If the highway patrol driving during the summer saw an out-of-state car tag, he would pull them over and make a mock arrest. They were given a nice meal in the town, keys to the city, and one of the things the radio station did was do a interview on a 3-inch tape, a little reel-to-reel tape back then. Well, I had never interviewed anyone. As I said, I was just trying to hang on to my DJ job. The boss came in, told me I was to do an interview. And so I decided to write down a bunch of questions that I thought I should ask. And I got the arrestee on the air. And I asked the first question, got an answer. Went to the second question, got an answer, but I was not listening to the guest. I was only interested in the questions that I had written down. Got to the third question, and the guest said, well, I just told you that. And so I found out in interviewing, the best thing to do is to get the guest talking and then come up with questions from what they say. I have never in recent years gone into an interview with any preset questions. Just maybe some ideas in my head, but I have found that everybody has something to say. I don't care who they are, but you need to listen to them. And I think that was probably the best lesson I ever had regarding an interview. Now, personal situation. I know I used to listen to people on the radio and wondered about them personally. And most of the time, we don't relate this type of thing on the air. We keep our personal stuff to ourselves. But here we go. Two of my classmates became DJs. I always loved listening to music and radio. And by my senior year in high school, I decided to try to become a DJ. I enrolled at JBU in Siloam Springs and took what is called TV and radio management, which basically had no interest in at that time. I just wanted to be a DJ. And part of the training at JBU is if you're going to go into a particular profession, you have a certain amount of time that you actually experience what you plan to do. If you're going to be in business, you would help run the store at the school. We radio people actually were put on the air and got some on-air experience there. Well, after 2 years, I made a mistake. I'm sure I decided to drop out and try to find a full-time radio job. And that following summer, I had sent out application letters all over, and I finally made a map of radio stations within driving distance, and told the folks, well, I'm going to take off, and I'll make the rounds, see what I find out. Well, one of the first, actually, the first place I visited, oddly enough, was here in Tahlequah. The owner of the stations, Galen Gilbert, was a graduate of John Brown University. He told me, well, you go back to school, finish up. After you graduate, we'll talk. However, I planned to apply at other stations. My first stop after that, which I had no expectation, was my favorite local radio station, KAMO and Rogers. Remember, Dad would listen to them in the dairy barn all the time, and most of the time I listened to them. It turns out one of my favorite DJs had been drafted, and a position was open. I didn't know that when I stopped in. I was hired. Actually, I was put on the air that same day, and it was like fighting fire. It wasn't very good, but over the course of my 2 years there, I was fired twice. I was hired back each time. It was kind of a trial by fire, I guess. While at Rogers, I met and married Evelyn McGinnis, who was just out of high school. She was working at a small dress shop in town. Shortly after we married, I applied and was hired as morning country DJ at KSWM in Aurora, Missouri. Well, it just so happened the station was owned by Galen Gilbert, who had the Tahlequah stations, the man who rejected me at Tahlequah. While in Aurora, our first child, Derek, was born. Of course, went to school, starting at Grandview and graduating from Tahlequah High School. I stayed at KSWM for 6 years, trying to learn the trade. And in May of 1969, Galen hired me as general manager of what at that time was known as KTLQ AM and FM. Later, the FM became KEOK. At one point, Evelyn and I owned the stations. We actually bought the stations from Galen Gilbert, and we owned them from 1982 to 87. And a lot of bad experience there. We went through some pretty tough times with double-digit inflation and so forth and so on. So I was kind of glad to turn the ownership over to somebody else and eventually wound up back here as general manager all of the years. Tahlequah is where we became parents of Heather Lynch Head. Many of you might know of her as an RN at Tahlequah City Hospital. We've been blessed with two wonderful children. Derek is now senior pastor of Blue Valley Church. There are three campuses in Overland Park, Kansas. They also have a mission in India. He has done quite well, as has Heather. They supplied us with three grandchildren and four great-grandchildren, with another on the way. Our youngest, Caleb, our oldest, pardon me, Caleb lives in Pella, Iowa, and he's health and safety director with Vermeer Products, which is headquartered in Pella, but they are all over the globe. In fact, he has a trip planned soon to Argentina. And Abby, of course, lives in a suburb of Minneapolis. She's a school teacher. Our youngest, Jackson Head, who lives in Tahlequah, is an electrician apprentice. And we've had the pleasure of being with Jackson all these many years to see him grow up from a preemie to a nice young man. While radio certainly didn't make me rich money-wise, it's left many great memories. Where I grew up on a small poultry and dairy farm, it was about midway between Siloam Springs and Springdale, never dreaming I would someday get to meet many of the artists I had listened to over the years in that old tube radio in Dad's tool shed. I've had the opportunity of interviewing politicians, local, state, and national, senators, representatives. I've had the opportunity of attending a press conference in Muskogee with a presidential candidate who turned out to be president, Jimmy Carter. At the time, I didn't think he stood a chance, so I didn't go that day, regrettably so. I've met a lot of country artists. Younger generation might not remember them all, but there were so many, and even had the opportunity of helping Fats Domino, the guy who recorded Blueberry Hill, help him set up his piano for a concert one time. And I guess if we started naming all the names we have met, of course, one that really stands out was Jim Reeves, but several of the Country Music Hall of Fame, and that from a country boy that baled hay and hauled feed to the chicken houses. It was never who I was, of course, but because I was from radio, that gave me the opportunities. Our special thanks to Gail Payne, a Payne Radio Group, for giving me the opportunity of continuing to host Community Chat. And a very special thanks to our good friends Bill John and Sherry Baker of Baker's Furniture. They have sponsored me probably the last couple of years, and they will continue with the new host, but a friendship there that goes far beyond their being my sponsor. I love them and certainly appreciate what they have done, and hope that you will continue shopping at Baker's Furniture. I'd also like to thank my listeners over the years. I occasionally run into gray-haired grandparents that I interviewed on the radio, and they remember that. Sort of made an impression on them, and I think that's one of the most rewarding things that I've experienced in radio. Lastly, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for letting me have such a long and rewarding life. And if you hear my voice again, it will be something that goes back to the archives, an old commercial or something. But this is my last time actually being on the radio, and I appreciate you all. Until we meet again, thanks.